If you have your Bibles open to Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Romans 12, 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches in his teaching. The one who exhorts in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. I want you to keep three things in mind from this scripture. First of all, that our worship involves being living sacrifices. Present your bodies as living sacrifices. This is your spiritual act of worship. Second, don't think of yourself more highly than you should. Humble yourself. And third, God has empowered you and gifted you for a purpose in His church. Every one of us has a part in His church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your church. Thank you for Jesus, who gave everything for the church, for us. I pray that you would call us to deeper walk with you. Move us to a higher level of service in your church. You have a place for all of us, and you've called each one of us to a specific task, and I pray that we would perform it to the best of our abilities. In Jesus' name, amen. This past Wednesday, we had a group go down to the healing place to serve lunch. Lunch was prepared, it was taken down, and we served lunch. There were about 7 or 8 that went down to the healing place. This is a men's facility shelter in Richmond. It came to Richmond in 2005. The director of the healing place is a man by the name of Al Jackson. Al Jackson went through the program in Louisville, Kentucky. There's a healing place in Louisville. There's one in Raleigh, North Carolina. There's a healing place in Huntington, West Virginia, and a healing place here in Richmond. And it is well known throughout the nation because it has such great success. It is a place for men who are recovering from drug or alcohol addiction. And when it started out, it became a place to serve the homeless community. But it has branched out. There's a young man there now. I say he's young. He has 3 children. His oldest daughter in college and 2 younger boys from Owensboro, Kentucky. He's from west of Louisville, Kentucky, and he's about to finish up the program here at the Healing Place in Richmond, and then go back and be the father and the husband that God called him to be. But this place is an extended program and has great success. They are in the process of building and opening a shelter for women, but this is just for men. And some of you have given in the generosity bucket in the last couple of weeks. I think that it was just over $321. Just at $321 was given in the last couple of weeks. And some of you have taken book bags that we had out in the foyer, and there's still a few out there that are empty. But you took book bags and you filled them with shaving cream and razor blades, towels, washcloths, soap, shampoo, a one-subject notebook, pens, and highlighters. And this, each of these book bags will go. The goal is to put together 25. We delivered 13 of them this past week. And Al Jackson, he just said, "You don't know how much that means to us that you brought those as a gift." And when a man comes into the program, he's given a book bag with all that he needs to go through the program and get started in the program. But the 5, 6, 7, 8 that went down served as an act of worship. When the food was being prepared, that was worship. As the food was being served, that was worship. We had a group go to MCEF on Thursday evening. That was worship. There are those who have visited someone in the hospital, Autumn Care or any other facility in the last few weeks. That's worship. Some of you have served someone with a disability or an injury or an inability to get out and care for themselves. You gave of your time. That's worship. Now, the reason I share this with you is I want to encourage you to go sometime and serve. I want you to go to the healing place and serve. If you packed a book bag, I want you to come down and serve. We've been going every other month, but we're going to start going every month. We could go every week if we had enough volunteers to go every week. And we should be going somewhere every week. Then you may be saying, "Well, I can't go during the weekday. I work and I can't get off work." Well, the first Saturday of every month, we go and serve the homeless through Moments of Hope Outreach. And I encourage you to go. Maybe you've gone and you felt like, "Well, we had more help than that was needed," but that's not always the case. We need volunteers. We need those who are willing to serve. When you go serve the homeless, that's worship. I want you to turn with me to Matthew 25. Because you see, this is what we've been called to do. As the church, this is not our highest calling. Now, I grew up in the church, and many of you grew up in the church, and I think this is what I learned, and probably what you learned, that our highest calling as Christians is to go to church. But in the last, really, since I've been at Gethsemane, the last 10 years, it started probably 20 years ago, I've just started discovering that this is not our highest calling. What we do inside these walls is not our highest calling. Look in Matthew 25, beginning with verse 31. And this is sobering. This is, in a way, it's kind of frightening to me to read this. It's called the final judgment. "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed by My Father.'" You are blessed by My Father. "Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave Me food. I was thirsty and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed Me. I was naked and you clothed Me. I was sick and you visited Me. I was in prison and you came to Me." Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, My brothers, you did it to Me." Then He will say to those on His left, "Depart from Me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave Me no food. I was thirsty and you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome Me. Naked and you did not clothe Me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit Me." Then they will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Wow, that is frightening. You see, this is not the highest calling we've been given. The highest calling we've been given is out there to go and serve. You see, Jesus, He turned the world upside down. He turned our thinking upside down, inside out. He said to be first, you have to be last. To be great, you have to be a servant. To receive, you have to give away. And I think through these book bags, the cost of the book bags, and those of you who have bought items, I'm guessing we'll give away more than $2,000 through the book bag program to the ministry of the Healing Place. And as we give as a church, we've got to find more ways to give, and then it's going to come pouring back. When we give away, God loves to put it back so we can give more and more and more. And when we give away, we're inviting God's blessing. And that's why we're serving at the Healing Place. That's why we're giving these book bags and supplies. When you follow after Jesus, it changes everything. It changes the church. Jesus Himself said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, you may be content with the status quo. You may think that your involvement now is enough, that you've been there and done that, but that's not the case. It's not finished until we cross the finish line. Listen to Ephesians 4, 14 through 16. As a result, we are no longer to be children. You see, as children, we make it about us and me. And we get upset when I don't get my way. And the more mature we become in Christ, the less it becomes about me, about us. We're no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in Him in all aspects. We are to grow up. He is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building of it, up of itself in love. That we are to grow up in all aspects unto Him. And each of us has been given a part. Each individual part we have been given a job to do in His church. So let me ask you this question. Are you in? You might be asking, what do you mean, are you in? I'm in the room. I'm in the church. Now, I've witnessed a couple of churches over the years. One was Northview Christian Church, where Becky's mom and dad used to attend outside of Atlanta years ago. And Southeast Christian Church in Louisville recently purged their membership roles and started over. They said, we've lost our focus, we've gotten away from what we're supposed to be doing, and they just purged their roles. And they laid it out from Scripture, the expectations of being a part of Christ's church. And then they asked the question, now that you see the expectations, are you in? No more casual Christianity or casual membership. No more lifers who consider themselves members for life, even though they no longer attend, don't contribute, and don't serve in any way. No more lukewarm members. No more spectators. Either you're all in or you're not in. Now, we're not doing that today. Maybe we should, but we're not. And I had mentioned we're having a commitment Sunday and kind of an unofficial commitment Sunday. And maybe this unofficial approach doesn't take it far enough. Maybe it doesn't do anyone any favors. Maybe this soft approach makes it too easy. We do no favors when we facilitate lukewarmness. But following Jesus was never meant to be easy. Jesus never said it would be easy. He said there'll be those that will despise you, those that will hate you, those who will persecute you, those who will lash out against you, those who will reject you, but take heart, they're not rejecting you, they're really rejecting me. He said, you've got to take up your cross, that's not easy. You've got to deny yourself, that's not easy. Follow me, that's not easy. It's about service. In our consumer culture, we've made it way too much about me. Make me comfortable. Feed me. Serve me. Now you and I are being called to something significant, something bigger than ourselves, something beyond this. Something beyond this. Now imagine driving up to a Washington Redskins game. Maybe you're a Redskins fan, someone's given you tickets, or maybe you're not a Redskins fan. Maybe you're like Mark here and you're going up to watch the Dallas Cowboys play the Redskins. Or maybe you've been given tickets to Virginia Tech football or UVA football, and you get in the car and you head to the game and you stand in line and you get into the stadium and you find your seat and you're there with crowds of people cheering, and both teams, all they do is get in huddles. They just huddle up. They just take turns huddling. They never get out of the huddle. They never pick up the ball. They never run a play. No one scores a point. Well, as the church, we have to be more than just about the huddle. We need to ask ourselves this question: is our light shining in the community, or have we hidden it inside these walls? Remember that song as a kid? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, or hide it under a bushel. No! But I think that's what we do. We hide our light in here, in the church, in these walls. Sometimes we have to change it up, change the way we do things. There's a story of a young bride, just newly married. She saved up the budget a little bit and bought a roast, because the budget was really tight, young couple. She cut off the end of that roast and threw it in the trash, put the rest of it in the oven, and her husband, what are you doing throwing this? That's perfectly good meat. You threw it in the trash. You know how tight our budget is. Why would you do that? She said, I don't know. That's the way my mom always did it. So she called her mom. Mom, Bobby's all upset with me. I threw the end of the roast off into the trash like you always did. Why did you do that? Honey, it's okay. Calm down. I don't know. My mom always did it that way. Let me call and find out. She called up her mom. Susie's all upset. Bobby got mad at her. She cut off the roast like I cut off the roast, like you always cut off the end of the roast. And she threw it in the trash. She said, Mom, why did you do that? She said, simply, I didn't have a pan big enough to put the whole roast in. You see, sometimes we do things because we've always done it that way. It's all we have ever known. Now, we are living in a time when there needs to be a greater sense of urgency in the church. We've got to turn the church inside out, upside down. Perhaps more than any time in the 150-year existence of this church, we need to change. We need to make some changes. Now, here is our pledge to the Lord. Here is our pledge. Because I am a member of the body of Christ, I must do my part. As a functioning member, I will give, I will serve, I will minister, I will study. I will remember that if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And so I make this pledge to do my part. 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 6, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. I make this pledge to be a source of unity in the church. Colossians 3:14. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You know, I've seen a lot of churches over the year that have been absent of love. The very essence of God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. We've got to love one another. And 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. Love is patient, love is kind, love is gentle. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs, and on the list goes. I make this pledge to love, to be a source of unity. I make this pledge to grow with others, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I make this pledge to pray for the church family and for the lost. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. I make this pledge to invite others to my church. Luke 14:23, then the Master told His servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I make this pledge to be all in, submitting to God's will. Luke 9:23, then He said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. I make this pledge to go and serve those in need. Matthew 25:35, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I make this pledge to worship with others. John 4:23-24, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit and His worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. Now you have a choice. You can say, I don't have to do that. I've never had to do that before. We've never done it that way before. Like I said, this is just an unofficial commitment Sunday. Really, this is a way for you to symbolically make a pledge to the Almighty God that I need to step up my game. I need to get in the game. I need to be what He's called me to be. And no one's going to go through and check mark whether or not you filled out a commitment card. And I've shared this card with you the last couple weeks. They're up here on the tables, some extra cards and pens, and over here. They're scattered throughout the pews. There's probably may not be enough for everyone, but they're scattered throughout. That it says on there, I make this pledge to do my part, to be a source of unity in the church, to grow with others, pray with the church family, pray for the church family and the lost, invite others to my church, be all in, go and serve, worship with others. And then the other side is the someday card. Someday I'm going to step up my game. Someday I'm going to give my life to the Lord. Someday I'm going to be buried with Christ in baptism. Someday we'll make that, let's mark out some and make that someday today. Today I want to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And you might say, baptized. Bill, all you talk about, every week you talk about being baptized. Well, the reason why I talk about it is because Jesus talked about it. Jesus was baptized. After the resurrection, before He ascended into heaven, He said, go and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When Mark records it in 16... Mark 16:15 and 16, He said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Peter, preached the first gospel message. Jesus told him what to say. The Holy Spirit came upon him. He stood before the crowd and said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And throughout the book of Acts, we see that when they preached Jesus, in Acts 8, the Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip, "Well, what do I? Here's water. What's keeping me from being baptized?" And baptism is an immersion. If we go back to the original language, baptizo is the original language, Greek, and it literally means to immerse. It wasn't translated, it was transliterated into a new word, baptizo, baptism. So when I say baptism by immersion, really what I'm saying is immersion by immersion. You've got to be buried and watered by being buried in water. It was hundreds of years later that some men gathered in a room and had a vote and said, "Yeah, it's okay if you're baptized another way. That's all right." So you can follow, and don't trust anything I say. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, what Jesus said and what the apostles preached and what they practiced in the New Testament. And don't believe me. Read it. Read through Matthew, read through Mark, read through Luke, read through the book of Acts. Be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Today I want to place my membership at Gethsemane Church of Christ. I am an immersed believer. Today I want to return to a right relationship with Jesus and live consistently with wearing the name Christian. Today I want to begin the following in my life to take my relationship with Jesus to the next level. Or today I need prayer for. And we already have a couple in here that are commitments that I need to take my life with Christ to a new level. We have prayer requests in here. And we're going to end service differently today. We're going to end differently. We're not going to sing an invitation. Instead, the band's going to come up and I want them to play through the invitation. And it's a time for you, as you're leaving, to make your commitment. To come forward and fill out a card, and you're going to have to fold it lengthwise to fit it in the vase that says love on it. Because that's what the church is. It's love. That's what the church is about, love. That's who God is, love. And we are called to love. We're called to love one another. We're called to love others. We're called to love God, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And if you want to make a decision, if you're filling out a today card, the someday side, I'm going to ask you to place it in here. Or if you're saying, I need to be baptized by immersion, and I believe and I want to call on the name of Jesus, and that's just something I haven't done, then bring me your card if you want to make that decision today. Or you can place it up here. We'll find it, and I'll follow up with you. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, already in this vase on the table here that is placed before you, there are some names that have been mentioned in prayer and some substantial issues, life issues and struggles and difficulties. I pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you would be at work on each one. That in a supernatural way you would change their life, that you would impact their life, that you would change them, that you would meet these needs that are mentioned. And Father, now as we end this service and all of us make a personal commitment in some way, and certainly there's no obligation, Father, but you know our hearts, and I pray that we would all step up in our walk with you, and whatever that next step is, you would lead us and you would move us. You would help us. There's so much work to be done, so many needs to be met, so many lost that need to be saved. So Father, turn this church upside down, inside out. Move us like never before. And may that move of you start today in us as we change our hearts as we move to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.